If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to start with the first chapter and with the first verse. So while that you're turning there with us, this was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul. It was written to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Timothy was like a son to the Apostle Paul. And so this being the last time that he would write an epistle of this nature, in about 66 AD or thereabout, he knew that Timothy would be facing some hardship, he would be facing some trial, that there would be things that he would come up against that he had never encountered before. These things had already started to set themselves into place. Heresies that would afflict the church, or trials. Just about this time began one of the first persecutions of the church. In fact, the Apostle Paul was martyred in Rome, being beheaded. And about that same time, Peter was crucified upside down. And so great persecution came upon him for the cause of Christ. And I think today that it applies to us in this day in which that we live, because we see the end time coming. As I preached several times here, I believe that we are living in the end time. We are living in the time and perhaps the generation that is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ come in clouds of glory. In fact, I used to stand in revivals and I would look out on the congregation and I would think to myself, there are some that are sitting there, and I bring this to your attention, that are going to see the Lord come back, whether they're about the age of Zoe or whether they're about my age. Christ is coming back. But until that day comes, I believe that Satan is going to up the ante, so to speak. His activity is going to increase, and we're seeing that already. Memory will serve you today and will cause you to look at what it was like whenever that you were a child growing up and what it's like now. And you almost have to admit just from that alone, that Christ is coming back. But I want you to realize today, these times that we live in is not a time for us to be fearful, although fear may set in. And that's the topic of my sermon today, or my message, as we stand before you, fear versus faith, especially in these end times and in these trials that we go through. Now, you know the types of problems that you have individually. There are things that happen to you you'd never banked on whenever that you were a young person. And we find today that God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient not only in our salvation, but His grace and His walking with us is sufficient for this day in which that we live. So we're going to read this passage of Scripture, and you're going to find in it that Paul doesn't have anything in it as concerning qualifications of pastors and qualifications of deacons and so on and so forth. This is the last epistle. This speaks to us in this day in which that we live. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Pardon me just a second. With pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, we want to stop there for just a moment. God being our helper, that's our reading lesson for at this time, the first chapter, 1 through verse 13, or excuse me, through verse 12. And we want to take for a text, and we want to take for a beginning, if God would be our helper, in the 7th verse. And I've spoken this and probably preached on this from time to time, but I believe that it has a special bearing in this day in which that we live. For God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Did you hear what I said today? Fear does not come from God. Now, some people will say, well, I thought that the Bible teaches us in one place that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you know, there's several ways that the word fear is used in the scriptures. The fear of God becoming the beginning of wisdom is a reverence and an awe of God, and also an apprehension and a type of fear that God is great and sovereign, that God is able to do whatever that his will is, and that all mankind should come in fear and in awe of Almighty God. But the type of fear sometimes that grips us in this day in which that we live is a different type of fear. It's almost to the very point of losing faith. And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen to each and every one of us. He wants us to lose faith, and especially in this day and in this time that we live. He wants us to lose faith. And when we lose faith, it's almost like a domino effect. We lose faith. We began to waver and kind of wonder, well, does God really care? Does God really know? Does he really love me? And then that will lead to despair. And despair will lead to giving up and lead to depression. And it will lead to just almost being so downcast that there is no hope. There is no light. There is nothing today that can lift us up. And I believe today that each and every one of us, and I'm going to throw this in this morning, that each and every one of us can be a help to one another whenever that we encounter these types of things. I believe that we're to lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus himself said that in the book of Luke. But we find that in the Bible, God gives a commandment. He gives an encouragement to each and every one of us. Do you know what that is? it's fear ye not. Fear ye not. And it's found in the scriptures about 365 times. A commandment, an encouragement from God. He said unto even Abraham, fear ye not, I am your exceeding great reward. He said unto Joshua several times before that they went into the land of Canaan, he said, fear not, I am with thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. And I want to be this bold to say this to you. As he was with Moses, as he was with the Apostle Paul, as he was with Timothy, he's going to be with each and every one of you that are here today. And you might say, well, I would expect this from you, Brother Colfer, because you've said before that if your calling is just nothing more than a cheerleader to get up and say rah, 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 then you would do it. Well, that's what's needed in this world today. That's what's needed, especially in the church of the living God. Now, there are other teachings that are in the scriptures as concerning our conduct and how that we are to handle ourselves before God and how we are to appear before the Word. But I believe today that first and foremost, when we see these things coming to pass, lifting up our heads, knowing that our redemption is drawing nigh, and not knowing exactly how long that it's going to be before that he comes, I believe that with all my heart, he says unto us, fear ye not. Fear ye not. When you see these things coming to pass, you know that the end is near, and God has this all under control. We've got to hold on to that today. I believe today, my friend, that truth coming from the Word of God is what God says. I'm just going to give you a few things before really getting into this sermon today. Truth comes from God. God cannot speak a lie. Did you know that?
Amen.
He can do a lot of things. It may even look like he's contradicting himself in the scripture. He doesn't. He's truth. He said, I am the truth. I am God, I change not. He changes not in any fashion or in any way. And he gives unto us faith. Faith is what we believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want you to know that there is a conflict. There is seemingly a battle that goes on between fear and between faith. And God intends for our faith to override our fear, whatever that might be. It might be at looking at the times that we're living in, the morals that are going down the tubes, even as we speak, sickness, even within our families, conflicts that take place in our families, situations that come up that we never even dreamed. People will sometimes say, does God even care that I've got this disease? Does God even care that I feel like I'm getting older? And I can kind of join with you in saying that sometimes it kind of worries me whenever I think about, you know, what could be. But I want you to know fear is defeated by our faith in God. And I want you to know that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and adhering unto the Word of God. I want to tell you something right now. This is the mind, the Word, the heart of God. He's given it unto us. He's given us instructions in it. He's given us assurance in it. And one of the things I want to say today that he tells us as those that have been saved by his grace, he said, I have redeemed you. Now, someone will say, well, you're quoting out of Isaiah that you know, Israel was redeemed, and that's true. But I want you to know he has redeemed, if you've been saved, each and every one of you. My friend, the Bible tells us over in one place that being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have this peace. And then we find that we are justified, that is, that we are saved by the grace of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were in trouble with God because we were found to be guilty with God. But God be thanked, He had mercy upon us. He had love upon us. He had compassion upon us. And I want you to know, my friend, when you're saved, you no longer belong. You no longer belong unto the world. You are His today. Now, we have to live in the world. We have to make our way in the world. We have to get along with the world up to a degree. But we remember also, my friend, and this overcomes some of the fear in us. I belong to God. I one time saw a cute little picture, and I never will forget this. You know, it had a picture of a little boy, obviously living in poverty, you know, standing, you know, his shoes were coming apart. And you know what he said? He said, "God made me, and God doesn't make junk." I want to tell you, whenever that Satan gets to working on you, you remember this today. I've been redeemed with the greatest thing in this world that I could be redeemed by. You're not redeemed with silver and gold. You're not redeemed with anything by works. You couldn't bring the works that would be needed to redeem you before God. But you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ Jesus. And that's how that God looks towards you. You have the image of Christ imprinted upon your heart and upon your soul. Your righteousness is not your own. You don't have to worry after that you've been saved if you've got to be saved again, or if you've got to be saved again, or if we do sin, you know, am I going to have to seek this all over again and be saved again? No, God has built into a fail-safe system where that if we do sin, we have an advocate with God, Christ Jesus. He is our advocate. And I want you to know the blood of Christ is good for sins past, and the blood of Christ is good for sins in the future. Amen?
Amen.
You have favor with God. You are His today. And you belong unto no other today. You have been redeemed. And you know what he says over in one place in the book of Isaiah and in the 43rd chapter? He says, "I have redeemed you. I have you in my hand, and who can take you out of my hand?" You will not ever go under that again. You've been redeemed by His precious blood, and you belong to Him today. He says, "Fear not, I will be with you whatever that you go through." Do you know, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what will happen to us. We don't know. We have this freedom. We have it for now. I don't know what it will be like next year, the year after that, the year after that, the year after that. Paul could lay claim unto his Roman citizenship, but it only worked up to a point. And whenever that it came down to a choice between do you sacrifice unto Caesar or do you lay claim to this God that you say that you worship? And Paul sealed his testimony with his own death. He said, "I'm ready now to be offered if it comes down to it." And many in that day paid that price for their testimony that Jesus Christ was their only Lord and King. And the Roman Empire couldn't understand it. And so they thought, "We'll just do away with them." I don't know that that will happen to us. I pray that it doesn't. And I'm not here today to scare you and to say, "Well, you know, this is going to happen. And this is..." I don't know. But I want to tell you something. God was with Paul. God was with Timothy. God was with the apostles. God was with our forefathers that brought this gospel down to this present moment of time. And they went through sword, they went through fire, they went through flood, they went through imprisonment. I read about one man by the name of John Bunyan that was imprisoned for what? For preaching the gospel of the Son of God. And you know, John didn't stop in that English prison. But whenever that he knew that people were gathered outside of the prison, they would signal to him, John at least had a Bible in that prison. And he would open it up and he would begin to preach where he was at. God was with him. Do you think God's going to be with you through all of the trials and problems that you go through? Well, if he's redeemed you and brought you this far and saved your soul, he's going to be with you and walk with you as he did the others. No matter what may happen. Brother, I want to tell you something. Don't fear. Don't fear. And you might say, well, preacher, it's easy for you to say that. Well, it's some things are going to happen to each and every one of us. And that's why I said at the beginning, whenever that my friend someone's in trouble or someone in our congregation or in our Christian community is going through a great trial, you know, it behooves us. Call them up. Call them up. This is turned off, by the way. But call them up and ask them how they're doing. Or text them, if you text. And just, you know, just do it at random. Just ask in the beginning, oh God, who do you want me to be a blessing? How can you use me today? Who do you want me to call today? Who do you want me to encourage today? And you might say today, well, preacher, I don't know if God intended for us to do that. But you know what? In that day and time in which that Paul lived, they had the greatest road systems that even exist today, the greatest seaways. And Paul was on the road always. He didn't stop. He went forward. He didn't go on. He went forward. And he went through the seas. They may have wrecked, but Paul was willing to do it. And I want you to know today, my friend, God's given us this. Why should the devil have use of this tool only and exclusively? Now, I don't recommend some of the websites and some of the things that are on there. And for pity's sake, don't get on the news reports. But I want to tell you, you can use this to call up one another and ask, how are you doing today? How is it going? You can be an extension of the love of God towards that brother or that sister that's going through a great trial or a tribulation or sickness or whatever it might be. And someone will say today, well, you know, what else could I do besides that? You could pray. I prayed with people on this phone. I've asked them, do you want me to pray with you? Yes. And you know, I always think to myself, I wonder if there's anybody else listening on there. They're going to hear the gospel. My friend, I use what God has given us to encourage one another. That's one of the ways in which that God is with us. He said, I'll walk with you. I'll be with you when the waters come upon you. That word waters in Isaiah 43 and verse 1 has several different meanings to it. It comes from a Hebrew word called mayim. And that can mean an overwhelming water, but it can also mean foul waters, like waters that would come out of a sewer system. Sometimes we have the sewage of the world thrown at us, don't we? We have it, and it's overwhelming. But I want to tell you, he'll help you through that. He'll help you to overcome that. He'll help you to overcome, my friend, being shocked with the type of language that is used by the behavior that is used in this world. But I want to tell you something. If your heart is prepared and you're praying, my friend, humankind has not changed. They were the same way back in the Apostle Paul's day. I can imagine whenever that he was in prison, he heard some pretty foul things there. But I want to tell you something. It didn't... It didn't bother Paul, because Paul knew that all men had a soul. He knew that they had an eternal destiny. They were going to spend eternity in one of two places. And Paul was so single-minded. He was so focused. He was sold out to the gospel. And I keep referring to Paul because there's an example for us to follow. And he said, every place that I've been, everywhere that I've gone, even in the midst of a storm, the Lord has stood by me. In this foul age that we live in, this culture that we live in, God will be with us. He has a reason for us being here. I've heard people say, well, what's my reason for being here? I can answer that for you, because God wants to use you. And God will be with you. And no matter what may come, what may happen, who may come up against you, you know, the Bible says over one place, it says, if he be for us, then who can be against us? You know, and may you get that in your mind. Now, I said the other week, and I'm not chastising you or anything, but there's still no table out there to put the sermon on. We've pretty well taken that out. It's a good place. I love it whenever that... standing over there greeting people whenever they come. Asking them, you know, why chastise the church and tell them you're doing wrong? You're doing right. Take the sermon with you. Feast upon it. Know today that God has redeemed you. You are redeemed. You are God's. You don't belong to anyone else. You don't belong to the world. And he'll be with you. He said, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age, the end of the world. And even though we talk about, oh my goodness, you know, it must be coming down to the end times. Well, praise God, our work is almost over. But until that time, we hear the trumpet, we hear the shout. My friend, let's work to get people into the ark of safety. Let's tell them about the love of Christ Jesus. Let's tell them about a Savior that can take care of what's... I'll tell you what the solution is to all of our nation's problems and the problems of the world and this and that and the other. It's not a better economy. It's not a better leader. It's not a peace negotiation between nations. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the solution to it today. And you might say, well, how can I in Hickory County or wherever county you're from or Wyoming or wherever it might be, how can I affect a change? You know, there was a man that was in a revival in Samaria. Great meeting took place. Great meeting took place and several souls saved. And then all of a sudden God spoke to him and he said, I want you to go down into the desert. How many of you would be in a revival like we've got coming up in October with Brother Massey? How many of you, if God spoke to you in a great revival and said, go over here to the convenience store and I'll tell you what you need to do. Philip went down there and stood in the desert. And pretty soon there came a chariot up over the sand dunes. Here they come in a great entourage. And a man reading out of the 53rd chapter, I believe it was, of the book of Isaiah, and not understanding what he was reading. He had been and sacrificed unto God in Jerusalem, but still there was something that was there that he knew he didn't have, that there was something that was wrong with him. He couldn't put his finger upon it. And Philip hearing him, do you understand what you're reading? That eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? And so he jumped up into the chariot with him and all hastened along. But he found the place where that he was reading. And he was reading about the prophecy of Isaiah about Christ Jesus. And he said to Philip, he said, "Is this man talking about himself? Or a nation or someone else?" He really didn't know. And Philip opened up his mouth, and what did the Bible say? He began to speak to him, Jesus. And you know, that man went all the way from not knowing what the scripture was about to where they came to a pool of water. Now, this is what God can do if we'll just have faith in him. Came to a pool of water and said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Where did he get the idea about baptism? He couldn't understand Isaiah, but now something happened to him in that chariot. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart." And I want to tell you something. Salvation, we have different types of experiences, and those are great. God opens things up. Paul had an experience of salvation. But I want to tell you something. It comes down to, if thou believest with all thy heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, thou mayest. They went down into the water, Philip baptized him, brought him back up, and the man went on his way rejoicing. Now, what could have come from that? It was just one man. Well, they say, and I don't know, that Ethiopia became one of the richest nations as far as the gospel was concerned. That's what God can do with one person. You go down to a convenience store in a supermarket, you make yourself available unto God, I'll guarantee you that there'll be a eunuch, your eunuch, that will come and will be talking about, "I have this emptiness in my heart, I have this emptiness in my soul." And I want to tell you, that's what's wrong with the society today. They don't have God. Fear not. I am with you. Then fear not, because God loves you. God commendeth his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He died for all mankind. Do you know who God doesn't love? He loves all mankind. He loves a drug addict. Man, I've seen some pictures, I've seen some films of people, and it breaks your heart to see the condition that they're in. They need God. They need, as my grandmother used to say, just a good old dose of salvation. They need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They need to be delivered from the bondage that they're in. He loves the prostitute. He loves all mankind. You might say today, "Preacher, why are you preaching this?" Because I want you to get today that God is unconditionally loving of every mankind. He even loves Putin. Amen. Can you imagine that? He does. And I want to tell you something. If Putin ever comes in repentance before God, God will save him. Amen. Amen. God, there's no one that God cannot save. He could save Chang over in China. He could save the PLO, where they're called whatever now. He could save them. My friend, he could bring all of Israel. Oh, one day to see him who they have pierced. And my friend, be saved by the grace of God. There is no one that he does not love, that he cannot save today. And he loves the saved of God, his redeemed. You, get it in your mind, get it in your heart today. God loves me. God loves me. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. There's no one sitting in this congregation today that God does not love. And I want you to know, my friend, God proved it, or they proved it today. The Bible says in one place, it's a God so loved the world, and that includes you today. It includes all the world. He loved the world so much so much that he was willing to give his son. How many of you would give your son for a prostitute, for an addict, for a sinner, for anyone today? How many of us? I want to tell you something. I'm not a very big guy, as you can tell. But if they'd strapped one of my children up to a post and nailed him, there's not enough horses or whatever in this world that would keep me from trying to get to them. But I want to tell you something. God loved this world so much that he was willing for his son to go to the cross and willing for him to hang upon the cross and shed his life's blood for all of mankind to give them an opportunity to be saved. And I want to tell you something today. If you get nothing more out of this message, let it be this. God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. And he doesn't love one over the other. And, you know, this one is better than the other one. No, we all came on the same level before the cross. God's love towards us is the same, but it's great towards each one of us individually. How can he do that? It's because that he is God. And beside him, there is none other. You're valuable to him. You are his beloved. You are his choice today. I want to leave you with this, and I can never remember this, but maybe I won't butcher it too much. God doesn't love you because you're valuable or beautiful or smart or wealthy. He doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because he loves you. Take that home with you. Don't leave it out there. He loves you today. Each and every one. This world, you, Pam, he loves you. That makes you valuable. Dan, that makes you valuable. Karen, that makes you valuable. I could go all the way down the line and tell each and every one of you, because he loves you, you are valuable to him. Don't ever let fear overtake you. Sickness, disease, the world, the culture, the shock of it today. Don't let it overwhelm you today. If you go away with nothing, go away with this. You are valuable because God loves you. This is going to sound crazy, but let's say that together. I am valuable because God loves me. Amen. Write it on your mirror, or whatever. But take a hold of that today. Because I want you to know that everything that Satan can throw at us, he's going to throw at us. Everything that he can try to discourage us in, he's going to use it against you. But my friend, if you keep that in mind, and you know what the Bible says in one place? We always talk about us being defeated, and being, you know, cast off, and so on and so forth. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us.